Greetings, Gopher fans. Welcome into another edition of the Daily Gopher Football Podcast. I'm Jeffrick, joined this week by Jeremo. Coming up, we will talk to Joe from Hail to the Orange. It's the SB Nation Illinois blog. We'll talk to him about Illini football, how bad the Gophers are, even get into a little bit of basketball. So all that is coming up. And kind of like last week, we'll try and fill some time here for you, but, lot of Gopher losses to talk about again, and probably another one coming up to Illinois. So the on-field stuff, probably not going real in-depth with that.
No. I watched the game, but not a lot to talk about, really.
See, that's good. I didn't even watch it, I'll be honest. Did not even watch the game against Michigan State last week.
Wow. More of the same. You didn't miss a lot.
31-8 the final. That Jeff Horton's a dirty liar. Said that Marquise Gray wasn't ready, had to change the offense, couldn't get in the game. Dirty rascal. He put Marquise Gray in.
Yeah, and played like almost the whole series a couple of times.
Yep.
So
that was something. Yep. There was that.
Didn't get to throw much.
No.
But it's nice to see a little bit different look to the offense. Obviously more of a threat to run out of the quarterback position, so that was nice at least to see something a little different.
So we had that going for us, which was nice. That's about all I have to say about that, as they say. I mean, it's 31-8, that's the final. It's the usual awfulness on both sides. Third down percentage was terrible at 2 of 12. Michigan State was 5 of 13. Didn't put up a ton of yards, only 320, but, got done what they needed to, another ho-hum day. Their running game, though, that's what I was impressed with Michigan State is last year, when they came in here, but they were all about throwing the ball. They had some young tailbacks, couldn't run it much, and they're a pounded on the ground kind of team now.
Yeah, they can run. This Baker is quite impressive.
Edwin Baker, the touchdown maker?
Yes. I like that. It rhymes, and it's
catchy. It's probably already been used.
All he does is score touchdowns.
That's all he does, just like Chris Carter, except he runs the ball.
That's right.
I was going to check. So anyway, there's our hard-hitting Gopher football stuff. That'll take care of that for the week.
That was fun.
We'll cover the Illinois matchup here coming up. Well, we won't. We'll mostly ask Joe about Illinois.
Cause, let him do it.
Yeah, really. He's more the expert on that kind of stuff. Coaching search. This is the first week we haven't had, I would say, any big news or usually there's a coach du jour name that leaks, but this kind of quiet here this week. I hope that's a good sign, meaning that, they're doing some work behind the scenes and getting closer to whittling their list down. But
well, we're far enough into this thing that really no new names should pop up. Obviously GN had an incredibly extensive list. A couple of weeks ago, I think 30 candidates.
Exhaustive, really, is what it was.
And then, obviously, the bracket with, I believe, 14 names, 16? I don't know.
Something like that. That all sounds good. And
the bottom line is that we have a pretty good idea who the candidates are at this point. Who's actually being interviewed, who's interested. We don't quite know yet, but no new names popping up. Charlie Walters likes to throw a name out. Carly Balters likes to throw a name out. Every couple days he's mentioned Brady Hoke now. I think who did he throw out last week? That was Joe Schmidt that threw out Randy Shannon. So
and we immediately threw Randy Shannon back.
Yeah,
we said thanks but no thanks.
Really can't keep track. Obviously, there's a lot of names out there. Hopefully we get one of the ones in the top half of those names, but who knows right now?
It'd be nice. Really, the only coaching news is that Colorado finally fired Dan Hawkins.
Yeah.
Long overdue.
Remember
long
when it was overdue. Like completely taboo to fire a college football coach in the middle of the season?
Remember how we got told, really, until we fired Tim Brewster, that you just don't do it? It only happened 4 times. Yeah. You don't do this. This doesn't happen, and it's weird. You know what the Gophers are? Trendsetters.
Around the country.
Trendsetters.
Around the country, when people think Minnesota Golden Gopher football,
trendsetters.
The first words that come to mind are trendsetters.
Yes. If you're looking for guidance on how to fire your coach midseason, look no further than Joel Beturi and the Gophers. Yep.
So if you're looking for guidance,
we got that on
how to hire somebody that's not qualified at all,
no
head coaching or coordinator experience, right here.
Yeah, Joel Beturi can help you with that one,
exactly.
too. It's why President
Trendsetters.
Trendsetter. It's why President Brunix has been doing a lot of talking lately and making it without really saying as much that old Joel's going to have a lot of help.
I think Bobby D's right in the thick of this
thing. I think he's, you know, not resting on the old laurels or however that saying goes on his way out of town. I think he wants to make sure they get this one right. Or as close to right as you can get.
He's not going to ride his horse out of town without making sure that his stamp is all over this next hire.
I think so. We also, Minnesota Daily had that they were also, I think, were they down to four names for the president for the next?
Yeah.
So that better not get done before the coach, but that's going to get done in not too long too. We'll see who the president is, and I hope he's a football fan.
Yeah.
I hope he's a big football fan.
Realistically, doesn't matter if they name somebody.
Yeah.
Probably before
it doesn't matter at all.
But, it will be interesting. There was some, I don't remember where I saw it, but there was a note somewhere about how part of the negotiation process, for the new coach might be to give the new coach a seat on the decision committee for the new president, being that coach will be here through a new president.
Yeah.
Obviously would possibly want a little bit of say in who that will be. So that's a little interesting. That's a little bit backwards from where you would think it would normally be. But being as Brunix
has Adam Weber asked to be on that council too?
I'm sure he has.
Yeah, I'm sure he has as well.
He's been turned down.
Great
guy.
He's a helpful guy. Yeah.
But doesn't need to be a part of choosing the next coach.
You know who who's not on that list for the president thing? No. Joel Maturi. I bet they're not letting him in anywhere near that one.
It's a good point.
Just throwing it out there.
It's a good point.
I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
It's a good point.
So the Colorado job's open. Do you agree not as good a job as Minnesota? I kind of said it depends on who's asking. I think you can make a case for both pretty well.
Well, I mean, you look at Colorado from what I've read, doesn't, I mean, if there's a school that has less committed to sports and football than Minnesota, it sounds like it's Colorado. Even their president or their athletic director said they probably couldn't pay somebody $2 million a year, so that was interesting.
Well, and one of our, I'm blanking on the commenter, and I apologize because we like to attribute this stuff properly. I had an article on them. Something with they can't sign too many coaches in their athletic department to long-term contracts, so their assistant coaches would have to be like month-to-month or something crazy. Yeah. And their athletic director did say, and I wasn't sure what he was talking about then, but it makes sense now, that you know they're going to have an issue with assistant coaches and paying them properly. And as we saw with Brewster, your assistants are just as important in some ways as your head coach. You got to have guys supporting him if you want to make that happen. And it's going to be tough for the next guy at Colorado to do much if he's not going to be able to pay his coaches the going rate to keep him there.
Right. That was Go AU Fur.
Oh, yeah. He's,
commented on that. And
he's made us look good plenty of times.
Essentially, exactly what you said. The state of Colorado is limited in the number of multi-year contracts they can extend, so the football assistants are all essentially month-to-month or year-to-year type of guys. So, I think that certainly makes Colorado a less attractive job. I think Colorado, just by default, is more of a Western U.S. Type of city. So, you know, if you've got somebody who's a little bit more tied into a California or something like that, like a Bilotti, that might be more of an attraction there. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think a guy like Mike Leach, actually lives in Colorado. So not sure if that would actually be a name that would come up for the Colorado.
That might be
job.
True, but I have a hard time believing it because you know what? Not a lot of Pirates in Colorado.
True.
Not pretty tough to get to the mountains in your pirate ship
when you're
in Colorado.
You're right.
Just
saying. And besides that, I don't think they can pay Mike Leach what he needs to make.
No, and you can't swashbuckle much in Colorado either. A lot of things you can do out there, but swashbuckling's tough.
They might have like a amusement park with a pirate ship.
He might have one in his backyard, specially made just to keep keep that going.
It's a good point. You really can't rule it out.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see who pops up on their list. I imagine it's going to be a lot of the same guys, especially with what sounds like they're dealing with financially. Again, the rumors were that they couldn't afford the buyout on Hawkins last year. They had wanted to give him the boot, but couldn't afford the buyout. So You know, some of those lower level coaches, some assistants, some of those guys that aren't going to command the huge dollars. Right. But, you know, maybe a guy like Bilotti wants to get back into it in that situation. We'll have to see. So.
Right.
It's that time of the week here on the pod where we talk to a blogger from the opposition, this year from the SB Nation Illinois Fighting Illini blog. Hail to the Orange. We've got Joe Kasunas on. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I can't complain.
Thanks for joining us. You guys are coming off one of the craziest Big Ten games in history, and I know we like to exaggerate in this day and age, but I don't think that's exaggerating. What was it, a 67-65 overtime win? That seriously one of the craziest games I've ever heard or seen of.
Yes. If Greg Robinson is involved, I'm not surprised we put up 65 points. But if Vic Caney is involved as our defensive coordinator, I'm very surprised we gave up 67 points. I mean, that caught me completely off guard, I have to say.
Is that Michigan? I mean, that's a great point. That was going to be my next question. I'm not surprised you guys put up points on Greg Robinson's abysmal defense, but I was surprised that, you know, Shoelace and Rich Rod and the rest of them put up that many. Is Michigan's offense that good, or did you guys just have an off game?
They are that good to some degree. I mean, I don't think Roy Roundtree is the greatest Michigan receiver to have ever come to Ann Arbor, which is what we made him look like. But I think Illinois had a really, really poorly schemed day. And that's very surprising because we've had usually the right scheme for the offense we face this, you know, each week. I mean, we were completely focused on containing Denard Robinson and not just letting him get outside the pocket and run for 50 yards. So we do that really successfully. We hold him to under 100 yards rushing, but he throws for over 300 yards, which we were clearly not prepared for.
Well, it's been an offense that's finally evolved to the point where I think Rich Rod has his guys in place and doing what he wants, and it seems like from memory at West Virginia, you know, with Pat White and Slayton, it was just a strictly running offense, but he's proven he can throw out of that one too, and it seems to be deadly either way.
Yeah, and the best thing about their passing offense is how it comes off of the play fake, because all the big plays came off of fake handoffs or normal play action passes. I mean, when they got big yards against us, it's because our secondary bit so hard for the run that they just let the receivers run right past them. I mean, the first play of the game, 75-yard play action pass touchdown. I mean, that is the microcosm of the Illinois defense against Michigan offense for that day.
You know, Joe, one question I was just kind of looking at the stats is that Illinois literally had twice as many rushing attempts as passing attempts. Do you think that says more about the Illinois offense or the Michigan defense?
The bread and butter of Illinois' offense has been the entire year, pretty much Mike Ellishore running from the backfield, and when we need to, Nathan Shielhouse in design quarterback runs. We've been implementing the pass more and more, but, you know, we've got a redshirt freshman quarterback, and his efficiency has gone up each game, but, you know, the first game we played against Missouri, it was lost because we threw interceptions. We really don't want to get ourselves in a position where we have to throw the ball. We've always liked to let the running game set up the passing game, and most of the passes are not going to be more than 10 yards.
How are you guys feeling? That a tough loss for that game. I know you guys, it drops you to 5-4. You're at 500 to 3-3 in the Big Ten. Three very winnable games. You get a 1AA Minnesota. Oh, sorry, they're apparently still a Big Ten team. You get Minnesota this week and then close out on the road at Northwestern and Fresno State. I mean, you guys have a chance to finish strong, but what are you feeling about the Illini team right now?
I'm feeling pretty confident. I think I don't think Minnesota runs an unconventional offense like we saw necessarily with Michigan. I think it's something closer in line with what we saw against Indiana, and we really took care of business against Indiana. Adam Wheeler still, I have, you know, these nightmares from a couple years ago when they came to Illinois, and this the year after the Rose Bowl game, and I was thinking, just very confident, like, we rolled these guys last year, how are these guys going to beat us? And Adam Weber just had a career day against us, and I think the key is going to be, I don't know, keeping this team not focused on getting a bowl, just winning each game, because I really don't want them getting it too far ahead of themselves.
If you guys love Michigan's defense, though, you're going to love ours. It's like Greg Robinson, but worse. He and Kevin Cosgrove should have an all-crappy defense off and see who's worse. I think it would be probably the worst defense ever played in the history of the universe, but still would be so compelling you couldn't turn away from it.
Yeah, it's not the worst, but it's up there, is what you're saying.
You know what? I was going to ask you, you mentioned a couple of years ago when Minnesota came into Illinois and kind of surprised you guys. Realistically, that was the signature win of the Tim Brewster era, so you guys probably don't need to worry about seeing any type of team that would be able to come in and do that to you. But, as somebody who's an Illini fan and knowing, we're coming in with one and I can't even remember how many times we've lost now this year. I've lost track. But what is the feeling around Illinois right now with Minnesota coming in?
I would be lying if everyone didn't expect this to be a win. I mean, this was chalked up from about week three onward as kind of a gimme. And that's pretty harsh to say, but I like Tim Brewster as a person, even though he kind of scares the crap out of me every time I've met him. But, he's an old Illinois alumnus and everything, and but he did not really have that team looking very good last year when we went to Minnesota, and it really impressed on me and a lot of the other Illini fans that, they had a better team than they performed against the Illini last year. And we could see a train wreck coming, and it did not really disappoint in that regard.
Yeah, there's so many tough losses in the Tim Brewster era, it's hard to remember them all, but that Illinois one was especially crushing because Minnesota was coming off the huge upset of Michigan State on Halloween night when Adam Weber had actually looked like a decent Big Ten quarterback and thrown for 400 yards. We had you guys coming in, they had a roll, and then even when Juice Williams got hurt, you guys came in and just continued to roll on us, and that's kind of where that season fell apart for us, and it's just been nothing but good times ever since that one, really.
Yeah, not to rub salt in the wound or anything, but the quarterback that ended up getting, I think, the winning touchdown in that game transferred out of the program because he was overtaken by a redshirt freshman in Nathan Fieldhouse this year. So, I mean, that was not our best foot forward with that offense that year. I mean, obviously, we only won three games, so.
Okay, Kevin Cosgrove has made a living out of making ordinary quarterbacks look extraordinary. It's right there on his business card, I think. I forgot Brewster was an Illini guy, so maybe you guys look at him a little more favorable light than we do, because we sure don't like him much. That's what I was going to ask you. Ron Zook, because, both of our coaches came in on the hot seat. The Zookers kind of coached himself off of it. How are folks feeling about Ron Zook right now?
Well, we're sort of feeling about Zook the same way we felt about him, I guess, the year after we went to the Rose Bowl, when we went 5-7. It's like, well, we do not know what we're going to get year in, year out, or game in, game out. Inconsistency has kind of been the MO, but when we have good, it seems to come all at once and in really spectacular fashion. And when we have bad, it seems to fall apart all at once and everybody looks terrible at their job and people wonder how he ever got a coaching job in the first place at major level. But I think it's so much of what Ron Zook has done in Illinois has been just working against all of these perceived problems. He came in with next to no players left on scholarship after Ron Turner was fired and built the team up to the Rose Bowl level, and then the year afterwards we just kind of fall apart down the stretch and our defense can't stop anybody. I mean, I don't know if we're ever going to be really comfortable with Ron Zook as a coach, because I don't know if, you know, we're ever going to be able to reach a level of, you know, consistency with him to say that, you know, okay, I know that we're at least going to be 5 wins and challenging for a bowl every year. You can't say that. Sometimes you're just going to win 3 games, and you're just going to have to chalk that up to, well, you know, it happens. It's Zook. What do you want?
Well, on a scale of 1 to 10, Joe, with 1 being how Gopher fans feel about Tim Brewster and 10 being like probably how Iowa feels about Kirk Ferentz, what's your feeling on Zook?
My personal feeling on Zook is he is in the best position he's ever been at for Illinois, as far as coaching right now, because he has no control over the defense, almost no control over the offense. And his primary concern is making big decisions and recruiting, which, you know, if you have to have, you know, your drummers, you'd like to have somebody who is a micromanager and, like, you know, a Chip Kelly maybe who's a master of offense or something. But if his strong point is recruiting, I want him to focus on recruiting. So I'm going to give him right now a 7, because I don't think it gets better right now with the, like, this is probably what you're going to get when he's at the top of his game.
But realistically, it's really, for Illinois fans, with Ron Zook, no different than Minnesota fans with Tim Brewster. You want him to succeed, but deep down, you kind of just want to punch him in the stomach.
It's interesting, because I think he had that opinion of me a couple of years ago. One of the Big Ten media days, where I asked him a question at one of the roundtables. So it's interesting that you would say that.
Well, a 7's pretty good. I gotta be honest. That's higher than I thought you would say about the Zooker. So his job is safe for now, and at least you'll get another year out of him. Looking the way you guys finish up, I mean, you said, are you guys even thinking bowl game or looking ahead at where they could be playing?
Yeah, we've thought bowl game. I don't know what it would take to get us to a really good one. I think, what are we in line right now? If we went out for the rest of the season, that puts us at, you know, 8-4. Is that like Insight Bowl territory? I don't know. Is that Alamo Bowl?
Let's be honest. If anyone knows the Insight Bowl, it's the Gophers. That's about the only gold bowl we go to now that the Music City isn't eligible anymore. I'm trying to remember. I think that's right. It might be Alamo. It might be Insight. I'm trying to think with some of the changes, if those go in effect this year or not.
Yeah, I'm not remembering right now. I don't know that we have a tie-in with the Insight anymore.
Well, I was thinking about it. I'm guessing we're going to get 2 BCS teams, because we've had one every single year. We've had, you know, a pair of BCS teams.
Yeah.
So you get 1 team with the Rose Bowl, let's say Michigan State, 1 team in the Sugar Bowl, let's say, you know, Ohio State. And then Capital One Bowl goes to Iowa, and then the one right after that goes to Wisconsin, and then I'm guessing Illinois is right after that. So it's like whatever the third-tier bowl is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, people smarter than us will know this. I know they're sitting there yelling at their computers what they're going to, but yeah, so you guys are in pretty good shape. Not really much else to ask you about the game, since, you know, it's pretty much already a foreground conclusion, but I wanted to ask you, because I know there's a lot of basketball stuff in your site right now. Illinois, a big basketball school. Fans generally at this time of year, it's obviously the busiest time of year for collegiate sports when you got a ton of stuff going on. Are they more fired up for Illini basketball or football right now?
We're very fired up for Illini basketball, but it is, you know, you can always tell how good of a year it's been in football, depending on the excitement for Illini basketball, because we didn't really have a packed house for Illini Madness, and part of that was probably because people were still mostly focused on the football team. And, you know, talking about, like, a busy time of year, there are 3 Illini home basketball games this week, and a home football game. I do not know when I'm supposed to have a normal life if I'm going to be covering all these games.
You're not supposed to have a life this time of year, right? I mean, that's the idea when you get all these sports going on. It keeps you out of trouble.
Yeah. I mean, I should be thankful because, you know, I don't like TV otherwise. I just want to watch sports, so...
Yeah.
I'm only one man.
Yeah, basketball is a sport we might actually be able to hang with you guys and be competitive with. I know that people are excited around here for the Gophers' prospects with Tubby Smith. Yeah, football, not so much, but basketball, we might have a chance.
I can't wait until Big Ten season has started. It's going to be one of the best Big Ten basketball seasons, you know, I can remember. I think the competition in this league is going to be so awesome in the top half that it's going to be one to watch for every single night.
Yeah, people were talking to and reading previews and stuff. It looks like, yeah, as you said, the top half of the Big Ten is going to be very strong and very competitive. So it should be fun. Just like the football game set. Okay, no, it's not going to be really strong or competitive. But since I think we know who's going to win, do you think the Illini cover the spread at least?
Spread was like, what, 2 touchdowns last I looked?
At least, I think.
Well, every single time this year, if you pick the Illini to cover or beat or anything, the Illini have held up on betting. Even last week, Michigan was a 3-point favorite over Illinois, and they covered. So they beat the spread. They only lost by 2. So I would take Illinois regardless. They'll cover the spread. I know I'm setting myself up here because I said we'd win by 2 possessions last week against Michigan, but I'm confident in Illinois. I have no choice to be at this point.
Yeah, Jeremy just looked up the spread and said it's 21 right now, and you know what? I think I'd still probably take Illinois with the way your offense looked last week.
Yeah. Well, I can't say how your offense is going to go against our defense. I have no idea how good our defense is right now. I mean, I assume they're going to be good. I think, you know, if they just shake off what happened in Michigan and go back to, you know, how they were playing against Purdue and Indiana, everything will be fine. But I don't know, like, if that exposed something, I don't know if you guys necessarily have a coaching staff or a talent right now that can exploit something that's been exposed. But
no, Kevin Cosgrove doesn't even know that film exists to be able to watch it. He hasn't even discovered that yet.
Joe, it sincerely does not matter how good or bad your defense is, because our defense is so awful that your offense will do plenty.
I feel like I'm getting set up here.
See, and
the Ohio State people said the same thing.
And so did Penn State, and so did Michigan State. Yeah, don't worry.
No, we really are this negative.
Trust us, like the last 5 bloggers that we've talked to have all said the same things, and you know what? They were all fine, just fine. Well, hey, Joe, I know you guys are very busy. You're doing a great job on your site, Hail to the Orange. Heck, you're carrying that damn thing all by yourself and doing a great job. So we appreciate you giving us a few minutes here tonight.
Go spend some time with your fiance.
Yeah, and your grad school work and everything else you got going on. Rolling along on Zipod. Thanks again to Joe from A Hail to the Orange. We thought we'd clarify a bit of the bowl stuff because we clearly didn't have a clue what we were talking about. Well, let's be honest. We usually don't have an idea about anything we talk about on here. But
and we're not in the mix, so no, we don't care. I mean, we care about the Big Ten, but
yeah,
I mean, we've let's be honest, we've packed it in a little bit.
Oh, quite a while ago. Yeah, as you can probably tell from the quality of the podcast.
Yeah.
But anyway. But we thought this one time maybe we'd try.
Do you think anyone's listening?
Do you mean to start with or still?
At all.
Probably.
Yeah.
Really, as long as they download, that's all we care about.
Yeah. The unfortunate thing is Joe did a great job.
See,
really knowledgeable guy.
That's what I thought. That's actually been quite true of all the SB Nation bloggers we've had on from the opposing schools. They're quite good, quite knowledgeable. They do a great job, so hopefully at least listening for them.
Speaking of thank yous, I appreciate you getting me another beer.
Thank you. That's what
it's
we
delicious.
Do. That's what we do around here.
Yeah.
So
the bowl tie-ins.
Yeah,
bowl
tie-ins.
Bowl tie-ins.
How about those? Because we knew there were changes.
Yeah. So the pecking order, not including any BCS games.
Which we are expecting two teams to go, so that changes it a little bit.
Well, you're right. But the pecking order essentially of Big Ten specific tie-ins goes Rose Bowl, Capital One Bowl, Outback Bowl, Gator Bowl, 1, 2, 3, 4.
All New Year's Day games.
I was just going to say all New Year's Day games. Then the Insight Bowl and the Texas Bowl. And then after that, I mean, if we somehow qualify 9 teams, the Dallas and the Little Caesars Bowl would be the next one.
So we don't have the Alamo anymore, correct?
The list that I'm finding online do not tie us into the Alamo anymore.
Okay. I think the Pac-10 had just about the worst bowl lineup in the history of the universe, and I think they got themselves into the Alamo and right. the Big Ten's place, I believe. And the Insight yeah. moved up. It used to be the game for the Gophers, but now it's, right. You said the 4-5, so that one's
well, and then
up
we added two, a Texas Bowl and a Dallas Bowl.
Yeah.
Bumped up
well,
the Insight
Well,
because
if you're
going to
be in Houston, you got to be in Dallas, too. You right. got to spread that kind of love right. around.
I'm sure Jerry Jones had something to do with that.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Yeah, good old, I'm guessing the Houston game's at Reliant Stadium, and why wouldn't the Dallas game be at, sure. at Jerry World?
And you know, it holds 100,000, and they'll be lucky to get 15.
Well, probably, yeah, especially when your opposing conferences are either Conference USA or like the 6th or 8th team or something in the Big 12. But, you know, yeah. Jerry doesn't care.
No.
He's a businessman.
No.
He's a football guy. Did you know, sorry to go off topic, but... it happened.
Bring it.
Do you know Jerry Jones is not just the owner of the Cowboys, he's also the president and the general manager?
He's like Cy Sperling. Wasn't that the hair club president?
Yeah, I think it was.
He's not only the hair club president,
he's also a client. Do you think maybe the reason they haven't won a playoff game from 1996 might not be the coaching? It might be the fact that Jerry Jones is the president, the general manager, and the owner.
It has to be Wade Phillips' fault. It couldn't. There's nobody else's fault that it could be.
That's true. And when they get the next coach in and it doesn't help, it'll be his fault.
Well, yeah. God, it's going
to
be Jason Garrett.
Couldn't happen
Garrett's
to a nicer fault. Franchise, though.
Yeah. Remember when Jason Garrett was like the premier,
yeah.
like the next head coach?
They were.
Boy, Jerry Jones ruined him, too, huh?
There's something to be said for capitalizing on your opportunities, you know?
Yeah.
Strike while the iron's hot, if you will. And, yeah, I think good old Jason Garrett missed that window of opportunity.
Because yeah.
he was the hot item guy before he had really done much, and that's the point. And then once he did something, you realize he
do you
didn't
think he's
really
on the list for the Gopher job?
God, I hope not.
Yeah, I agree. Why are we... we're talking about the NFL. I mean, this is what it's gotten to. 2 weeks ago, I suggested the soccer coach from across the street for
yeah.
the Gopher job.
And you know what? He applied.
Now we're talking
and he
about
applied.
The, did he really?
I think so.
We're talking about the NFL. We're watching... The Wolves
we're not really.
On TV. I mean, this is what our sporting life has completely digressed to.
Has Minnesota sports been worse than it is right now?
Let's focus on football. Minnesota football?
Good God, it's bad
horrible.
Right now.
You asked me if I wanted to mention it, and I said no, but I am going to mention it. My alma mater, my high school alma mater.
I'm knocking on wood right now.
The Rochester Lured Eagles.
Yes.
In 3A, 10-0. Going into the state tournament this week, playing Glencoe Silver Lake. It's the only thing I have right now.
Yep.
I mean, between the Vikings and the Gophers, 4 wins. Out of, I can't even count how many losses the Gophers
too
have
many.
Anymore.
Too many.
It's like, between the two of them, what are they, 4-13?
Something like that, yeah. It's been bad.
It's disgusting.
Has coaching in the state of Minnesota ever been worse for their teams? I mean, it's... you have Tubby and Gardy, and then it's a pretty steep drop-off after
right.
that as far as coaches
yeah.
go. It's bad news.
It's not, it doesn't even seem worth talking about.
Well, let's move on then.
Okay, fair enough.
Let's not talk about that part of it then.
What are we going to talk about?
Gosh, I was hoping you had a segue to go here.
Okay,
no. Coaching search stuff, there just hasn't been much new. Obviously, keep voting. We're going to have a new candidate. I really, my guy Brady Hoke kind of got killed in our poll.
Crushed.
Boy, people much bigger fans of Troy Calhoun. And I'm not saying they're wrong.
Right.
I'm not saying they're wrong on that one. I just thought that one would be a little bit more competitive than we
right.
were.
Well, and I asked you even, I said, you know, if it was down between those two guys for the finals
yeah.
for the candidate, who would you choose? I think realistically, almost anybody would probably say Calhoun.
Yeah, based on the body of work, probably. Yeah. I think you probably would. But yeah, I guess I just thought that would be closer. The one today, I want to know who like the 30 people were that actually voted for
yeah.
Dan McCartney.
Who's voting for Dan McCartney?
Who in their right mind is voting for Dan McCartney thinking that's a better choice than Al Golden?
Does he have that many family members?
You know what? Maybe he does. Maybe he's got family members yeah. that read the blog and we didn't know it. That's about all I can think of.
205
yeah.
votes for Al Golden, 39 for Dan McCartney.
Who are those? Who is that one? Do you think it was one person just going around the different internet places and just hitting vote? Because
I
think that one person was Dan McCartney.
84% to 15%.
I thought it'd be, it should be 100% to 0%.
Yeah. That is a statistical landslide.
Yeah. I guess it's quite in favor, but I would
but
still...
But I'm glad that I nobody would... thinks Dan McCartney should be our
no,
next coach.
Good. And let's hope that Maturi
and, it's not
and the
that,
rest of his group know that,
what
too.
Do you think the chances are? Seriously, what do you think the chances are that Joel Maturi is keeping an eye on our bracket?
I'd say it's pretty strong. I mean, where...
Really?
You wouldn't?
Well, I'm asking you.
It's a scientific bracket.
Pretty strong, like...
Scientific bracket 80, based on a lot of data.
Would you say there's an 80% chance that he's checking it out every day?
You know, we use some pretty high-technology polling data to come up with the seeds and,
right.
and put them in there. And I think, you know, with the way we've got it going, I think it's a pretty accurate depiction of how things probably would and should go.
Are you willing to say
yes.
that Joel Maturi likes our polls?
Moving on... tomorrow we have another one that I think should be competitive, although I thought that with the Brady Hoke and Troika Hunt, well, probably today, I think this will probably post Thursday morning. Mike Bellotti and Kevin Sumlin should be an interesting one as well.
Yeah.
I think if you were a betting man, and we'd never condone betting, of course, unless
ruins
it was
families.
Sense, yeah, ruins families and mm-hmm. lives, unless it's sense sports, in which case, you
right.
know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Kevin Sumlin, maybe the betting man's choice. Not the first choice, but maybe once they get a couple guys down the list, the first guy that would take the job.
It'll be interesting to see how the voting goes, because I think if people truly are betting on who they would like to see as the next Gopher coach...
Yeah.
And that's what the bracket is designed to do.
Not who you think will get it, it's who you'd like to see.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think if people are truly betting on who they want to be the next Gopher coach, they would vote for Bellotti over Sumlin. But I think if people are voting on who they think really will be the next coach...
It'll be Sumlin.
I think Sumlin is... I mean, I think the two names... I think I mentioned this last week on the podcast. Last week I felt like Sumlin... It was maybe a foregone conclusion that Sumlin was going to get it. You know, I still feel like he's a very strong... possibility. I think Brady Hoke and Troy Calhoun are certainly up there, but Sumlin is still the guy whose name has been creeping up for over a year. I mean, even before Brewster got fired, and that's still a name that people talk about quite a bit, so I think he's probably definitely one of the leaders. But, you know, like you said, if you're truly voting on who you want to have the job, I would be hard-pressed to think that people would not vote for Mike Bellotti over Kevin Sumlin.
Yeah, Bellotti's body of work is pretty impressive, and we had some Oregon fans chime in on the blog as well, and they, again, have nothing but good things to say about him. But it's a question of, is this a job he wants? Is he going to look at Colorado? Is he going to wait for something bigger to open up? Would he even be considered with something bigger? He's only been out of coaching for about 3 years, but it's getting to the point now where if he wants back in, he needs to get back in here pretty soon.
Right. Well, and he's certainly, I mean, he's on that list of, you know, him and Phil Fulmer and Mike Leach, of guys who very successful as head coaches, a little bit of muck as far as, you know, the fact that they haven't been in the business or as head coaches at major programs for a few years. But of the three of them, Bellotti probably would have the best chance of getting an interview and getting the job, just based on the fact that ran a clean program. I don't think, and I could be wrong, but I don't think that he had a lot of controversy around him, so probably the best shot, but then again, maybe, you know, like Phil Fulmer, maybe Minnesota's just not a good fit for him.
Yeah, we haven't, you know, Fulmer publicly took his name out. We haven't heard anything about Bellotti yet, but again, I think it's early with the Colorado job opening up. Somebody mentioned Washington State. There's no way he'd pick Wazoo over here. That's, well, Washington State's a tough place to win. That's
I know nothing about.
Yeah,
that's
a tough place to win out there. But who knows? We'll have to see. We had talked to Joe about the Zucker with his job. It looks like Rich Rod probably going to be sticking around another year in Michigan too. I mean, they're at six wins, so they're guaranteed to go bowling. They get Purdue, Wisconsin, Ohio State left. They should beat Purdue to get to seven. It's crazy to think that
yeah.
a seven-win season keeps your job at Michigan, considering what they've done in the past. But I really think, and I think it was. shoot, who was it on the blog? Somebody had said in the comments section that they get everybody back next year at Michigan. Like, the whole right. shebang comes back. You fire Greg Robinson, since he's an awful defensive coordinator, get somebody in there with a pulse, and I mean, it's a dangerous team. If they get any defense whatsoever with an offense that good, they could be scary next yeah. year.
Well, and you know, I think the situation with Rich Rod probably wasn't that different from what we had with Brewster coming in. You know, what are the expectations based on the results that we've seen in the past? If you have a winning season, if you go to a bowl game, do you save your job? Yeah, probably. I mean, clearly based on what Michigan was 4 years ago when Lloyd Carr was around, not up to snuff. But based on what they've seen the last couple of years, you know, certainly in line, and they're still a very young team. So it will be interesting to see what they do. If they can improve their defense, they could be scary in the future. But
yeah, I think as long as they beat Purdue and they don't get embarrassed by Wisconsin or Ohio State, you know, I don't think the expectation is to win that. But as long as you don't get blown out or embarrassed, I think he'll come back next year. And I think that'll be a wise move. It took probably longer than thought to transition to the offense he wanted, and they still haven't got things figured out defensively. But again, their defensive backfield has just been a mess. But you know, year four for him, and really that's kind of what should be the measuring stick for most coaches, because then you've finally got all your guys.
Right.
Could set up as a big year for Michigan, so it would probably make a lot of sense for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll be, you know, always interesting. Obviously, that's a program that you expect to be in the upper echelon of the Big Ten. You know, certainly the record just against one team, Ohio State, certainly plays into what's important, and Rich Rod hasn't gotten over that hump yet.
No.
But done some other things that are important to getting to a winning program. So yeah, it will definitely be interesting. His job is probably safe, but he's got a long way to go to get Michigan back to prominence.
Yeah, he does. Just to wrap up the coaching thing, you know, I haven't heard much on Bill Lynch in Indiana. He was on the hot seat. They're not going to go bowling again, likely. But they just seem snake bitten, and I haven't heard a lot of heat on him this year. You know, they dropped the winning touchdown against Iowa. They had Iowa on the ropes and lost. It seems like they get so close every year and just can't get it done. But if the Indiana job comes open, I don't think that's one that affects us. I think Minnesota is a better job than that one for sure.
I agree. I think it was interesting. I think it was Rittenberg today, and I could be wrong. Might have been somebody else, but I think it was Rittenberg today that tweeted that if the Indiana job becomes available, look for Glenn Mason to be one of the candidates for the job.
I would say that makes sense if he wants to get back into it. He's kept, obviously, his Big Ten ties with, you know, his Big Ten network work. You know, he's keeping some iron in the fire with some different folks in coaching circles there. So, you know, it makes sense. He got us to a respectable level that we haven't climbed back to yet, and I think Indiana could do probably worse. He's even closer to Ohio, his favorite place to be and recruit at. So yeah.
I've got no doubt that Indiana would make a move for a guy like that. I have to question Glenn Mason with an ego like he has.
What? He was? Really, no. Really?
I'm just saying.
All right.
I'm just saying.
Nothing but class.
No.
The other one, and it's, as we mentioned on the blog today, would be Penn State if Joe Paterno decides this is the year. Again, you know, hit the 400-win milestone, the only Division I-A coach ever to do it, probably will be the only one to do it,
right,
considering, you know, you just don't see that kind of longevity anymore in coaching. But that, obviously, that would be a monster job if it opened. But you have to wonder, you know, Tom Bradley's been there, I think, 29 years and seems to kind of be the guy they've tagged as the coach in waiting. But would they take him? Would they look at Al Golden? Would they look at, you know, any number of people who would be chomping at the bit to get that job? It would be interesting.
Well, you kind of got to wonder, I mean, do they want to stick with, not that hiring or promoting an assistant would necessarily keep them at the status quo, but if they just decide they want to really shake things up and bring in a guy like Golden, that would be interesting. If the Penn State job becomes open and Al Golden doesn't get that job, then I think he is definitely your number one candidate for the Minnesota job, because seeing a guy like that, I think he'd want to come back to the Big Ten.
Yeah, you would hope so. You would hope he would, and he's got Temple playing good football again. So, yeah, apparently there's a game Saturday, 11 o'clock, Big Ten Network. We already know that.
Who's playing?
I think Minnesota and Illinois.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so for those that still care about that. Right. Otherwise, we'll be back to talk about that next week. There is a bye week next week. We will be here. We'll see what we can stir up for the podcast. Probably more brilliance like you've heard here.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine anything different.
See if there's any even though you wouldn't know it from the weather outside, we're hitting mid-November, and you would hope that with the almost 2 months that they'll have by the end of November, that they'll have a coach either named or close to named by the end of the season. So I mean, we're getting to the time where they should be down to finalists and making something happen.
Well, here's something I thought was interesting. So Zach from
Galifianakis?
No. I did see Due Date.
I saw that too. Did you like it?
Pretty funny.
I thought it was pretty good.
Pretty funny movie. But Zach from Gopher Illustrated had mentioned in a tweet a couple weeks ago that his prediction was that Troy Calhoun would be named the Gopher coach on December 1st. That was his prediction.
Okay.
And he recently, like within the last day or so, reconfirmed that was still his prediction. But then in a tweet today, he said if he was a betting man and it was Brady Hoke, Troy Calhoun, or Kevin Sumlin versus the field, he would bet on the field. So he doesn't confidence in his pick of Troy Calhoun or even Sumlin and Hoke. He thinks it's if you're betting, and again, it doesn't mean that none of those three are going to get the job, but if you were betting on it, his bet is that it would be outside of those three.
Because that would, without a doubt, be my realistic top three right now. They've said time and time again they're not going to consider Leach. I don't know if Bilotti's interested. It doesn't sound like he's giving strong indications he is. Golden, I think, is the best guy available, but I think he waits for the Penn State job or says no. So then, you're looking at...
I agree with you. I think those are the top three. But I think the point from Zach at Gopher Illustrated is... we just don't know. There's too many variables. We have no idea really where this... And let's be honest. You know, we found out that this coaching search was going to happen. And realistically, the U has done a very good job of keeping things close to the vest. Besides...
which is the point of using the coaching search. The only bad part of this is I believe this is the same firm that recommended Tim Brewster to be the head coach last time. So there's that.
There might... be the case.
There is, but hopefully they've learned their lesson and Joel Maturi has told him, you know what, I don't care how charismatic he is, if he's never been a head coach or a coordinator at any level and he's in his mid to late 40s, we don't want him.
It seems to be priority number one.
You do internet searches and you can sort through and things you want. Hopefully he just checked those options options. Like, okay, give me guys with, actual coaching experience on the list and then let's see how it goes.
Absolutely.
Because they were probably like, oh, we didn't know that. Oh, you wanted a guy with experience. Right. Oh, you wanted a guy who's actually qualified for this. Right. Okay, gosh, we had no idea. Sorry.
Just like Tim Brewster sold... Joel Maturi, he sold the search firm.
Yes, he did. Let's hope there's better results.
I can't, honestly, it's really exciting. In a lot of respects, it's a really exciting time to be a Gopher fan because anything could happen.
Yes. If it wasn't that they were still actually playing games, it'd be even more exciting because it's hard to watch.
There's that whole fear of what if it's just another disaster?
It can't be worse. I don't think it can be worse.
Good point.
Famous last words. One final thing before we go, because I forgot to mention it earlier.
Sorry.
Moses. Moses. The guy who parted the Reds. Okay, not the biblical Moses. Jeff Horton did mention that maybe he'd get Moses Salapate involved this week as well. And it's hard to tell if he's just giving tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
And because, he told us about how we'd never see Marquise Gray and he'd play. He mentioned, but I wouldn't mind if Moses got a series or two or a couple snaps just to see what the kid looks like.
Listen, I have nothing against Jeff Horton, but the guy's got absolutely zero incentive
to play.
To tell the truth.
Yes, and he's proven that.
Yeah, so
kind of like, what is it with Gopher football coaches? Because Brad Childress can't seem to tell the truth either.
Brad Childress doesn't coach the Gophers.
Oh well, I just meant Minnesota coaches.
Fair enough. I agree. I completely agree.
You're right.
I think it'd be fantastic if Moses got a couple of series this week.
Just to see it.
Yeah. Because honestly, I'm so completely paranoid and freaked out about what the Iowa game is going to be like.
Let's not talk about that. We have three weeks.
I know. And yes, I said those people.
They are those
come
people.
Come here God, into our stadium.
On Thanksgiving weekend, too. Ugh.
It's despicable.
It's awful. We have 3 weeks to worry about that. Let's not worry about that now.
I can't.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for another wonderful week of the Daily Gopher Weekly Podcast. Again, game time, 11 a.m., Minnesota, Illinois, Big Ten Network. Watch it if you dare. I might not. We'll see what I got going on Saturday.
Thanks again for the beers.
Anytime. Happy to help. For those of you out there, sir, I couldn't get you beers, but you weren't here. It's not my fault. You can't blame me.
It really isn't.
Maybe next time. So for all of us at the Daily Gopher, we thank you for listening. And as always, stay classy, go Gophers.
Guy, you mind?